not logged in yet, but she's expected to be. Other than that, we have no remote participants, as you can see.
So we'll just go
announce formally, because I think you're going to be joining us, that we're still in accordance with Public Act 101-0640, offering our meetings. Could be otherwise. It's remote as well as live in person. And today is the March 2022 PM Public Works. No citizens on there?
Nope.
No citizen comments. So minutes for correction approval, 15th of 2022, I heard one, indicating Jason Peterson was in attendance, but the minutes states Seaver Tourals.
Yep.
Any other changes to the minutes?
Nope.
All good. All right, with agreement from the group, then we'll go ahead and approve the minutes with that one change from last month's meeting. Again, that was February 15th. New business item number one, PW 2022-18, which is our snow operation.
Yes, thank you. Normal monthly report. This happened, two events that happened over 3 days. We had the salt one night and then come back early in the morning. One item of note, I will say, is that we have Y 27 and Y 28 back, which were the trucks that were in Indiana for most of the winter. So that's a good thing, and we got them fixed and on the road. Other than that, it's been a very average winter, which I'm very happy to report.
Is there any questions?
No.
Pretty sure all of our streets got done, right? Didn't hear anything. Excellent. Thank you again. Moving on to item number two, PW 2022-19, the Water Department reports from October 2021 through February 2022.
These are our normal required reports by the IEPA that have to go through the City Council approval procedure. There really is nothing that stands out to me. Very normal for winter months, except for February, where the number of leaks or breaks repaired were 5. That is a little high, and that's continued right on through the first 2 weeks of March. We had one, at least one each week as well, so over like 7 times, which is higher than all of last year. Other than that, it looks very normal. Every all the sales have passed, and everything is good. These do have to go to City Council for approval.
I do have no questions. And go.
Nope. So I should have bet on Marlis being correct as opposed to whatever happened today when Jason called me. But Jason is not on this committee. It is Seaver.
Really?
Yeah, so he called me, and I don't know if...
I thought Seaver was,
he said, I'm missing the meeting tonight because of whatever reason. And I said, okay, great, I'll call to make sure there's a quorum. And called everybody else and even confirmed what I thought was the committee with somebody else on staff. So, comedy of errors, my apologies. Yeah, so yeah. Seaver must be absent, coincidentally. So,
I remember talking about the sidewalks one time. I thought Seaver was...
Yeah, and your memory is... better than mine. Yep.
Yeah, never mind. Right. I thought it was Jason. Is Jason normally here? Yeah. Am I thinking?
Often. That's what I was. Yeah. I'm screwed up then.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we've been at a time warp for a couple years now, so you know what day is what day.
So, do you want to go back? Clarification, that's good. I'll still talk about the capitals. We're not even really used to meeting in person yet. That's the kind of word to go. Excellent. Well, I'd suggest we move that forward on the consent agenda.
Yep.
It's
good to be.
Excellent. Sound good, Joe?
Yep.
Moving on to new business item number 3, PW 2022-20, our 2022 Road to Better Roads program, which is a bid award discussion.
All right, first of three bid award discussions tonight. So the first one, the road program, we took bids on 8. We had 3 bidders, the usual suspects. The low bid bidder was the construction, who has within the city in the amount of $1,409,944.25. So staff is recommending the award be made. Within the memo, there is a section about the fiscal year 23 budget impact that Rob inserted. So it's kind of an overage or above what was planned from a budget perspective with all the roadway related work. So we had the road program work plus the East Main Street work, which also consisted of some planned roadway work. All those together kind of combined into the overall budget. So it was timely to take bids on both projects. We have the numbers, and it did come in slightly above. We have seen cost increases, price of oil, everything that's going on in the world. Last year, we noticed that the cost of ton for asphalt was a little bit less than $64 a ton. This year, the low bid was $75 a ton, so pretty substantial increase in cost. So there's two options that are provided in the memo, and Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, but you and Rob are recommending number one. There was some additional contingency included within the budget for the Fox Road project. Only half of that is going to be needed in the next fiscal year, so an additional $150,000. So by using that, that covers the overage of the entire address any questions anybody have, or Bart, if you have anything to throw out there.
Well, that's the choice. You either fund it through a different method or reduce the scope. So
I'd rather fund it.
Fund it.
Yeah. So the contingency amount itself, is that typically something that happens? Does it happen from time to time?
No, it does not usually happen. The only reason that it exists is because we planned for a worst case scenario for the Fox Road IGA, and then when the mayor had spoken with a couple of the county board members, they expressed some willingness to fund it in half and then spread it over 2 years. So we had budgeted for the entire thing spread over 2 years. So essentially we're paying, hopefully, maximum of $300,000 between the two fiscal years when we actually have $600,000 budgeted. So. And that's about the only contingency line item that we have in the budget, other than the actual contingency line item. So.
And then, if, provided we award this bid, we're locked into that bid, right? So their price can't go up.
Correct. So it's, yeah, there are always
orders.
Some, yes, yes, change orders. And I'm sure that there's probably some sort of force majeure clause that allows it to go up from time to time, but material supplies increasing at this point shouldn't be one of them. So.
They're usually not that far off. But.
Yeah, with the road programs, you know, we do factor in some things, tribal counts for several unknowns.
Right.
Historically, you know, we've been able to bring these projects below.
Yep.
Right. So probably shouldn't have said that.
Right.
We've watched quantities very closely.
Yeah.
So if something goes astray,
okay.
And if you want to mention that historically, it's measurable and a positive impact. Do that all day long. It's
perfect. You saw
Excellent. So as it pertains to this, do we send this forward to City Council with our recommendation as a committee, or is it still up for discussion probably?
Usually we would attach it with a committee recommendation.
Okay.
So yeah.
Excellent. So it sounds like Ken, you're in favor of
number one.
Agency. Joe, the same?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, same.
Great.
So let's go ahead and move it forward. And I guess we'll put this on a stand. Public Works Amendment.
Sure.
Unless you guys disagree.
Probably this one is a big mouth. John, if you listen up.
Excellent. All right, moving on to new business item number four, POB 2022-21, of the 2022 Roadway to Roads Construction Engineering.
Just continuing the comedy of errors from before, Jason is actually on this committee. I was looking
I
at an old roster.
Yeah.
Seaver was on it in 2019 until 2021, and then Jason.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
That's where it is.
So, yes. Yeah, so I knew that I had confirmed it with somebody else, but it didn't make sense.
Yeah.
The minutes were wrong and that you remembered it differently, so I'm doubting myself. So, okay. So, my apologies for that. I'm sure it'll be reversed again in 5 minutes. But, okay, so we have the construction engineering agreement on the agenda for the aforementioned Road to Better Roads program. It is budgeted. It's $99,000 total value with the EI. We recommend them because we always use them. So that's the staff recommendation.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, no question.
And whoever's on the committee, I'm fine with too.
As long as the three of us are here.
Right, as long as, right. As three people are here, I'm like, you're
done. Excellent. I have no questions. I guess just pose the question, are you guys comfortable with consent, or because it's related to the other item, you just want to put on the standard public works?
I just put on the standard one. That
yeah, keep yeah, together. They kind of go together.
Moving on to new business number 5, unless Bart has another update about committee members. BWA 2022-22, the Main Street Water Main Improvements Bid Award Discussion.
All right, so we took bids on March 4th. A lot of bidders, 8 bidders, and the detailed bid tab is attached. So this project is a little bit more than just water main replacement. That is the majority of the project, and that is replacing old water main on East Main Street from a bridge carrying eastbound. But on top of that, we are doing a significant amount of sidewalk replacement work along East Main Street and then repaving all of the East Main Street plus some additional streets that happen to be within the area. So a significant amount of work, a good size project for certain. You know, within the memo, there's a breakdown of the work. So about $800,000 associated with the water project, water main replacement, 135 or so sidewalk, and about $175,000. So the little bidder, Holiday Sewer and Water, they are out of Wakanda. They have bid some of our projects in other communities. We have not worked with them, but Nadia and her team did do due diligence, checked the references. They have done a number of municipal-related projects, Arlington Heights, Palantine, the area that they've done some work in Aurora. All very good, positive comments coming from those folks. So we are recommending award in the full amount of $1,222.33. So the estimator certainly had a play on those numbers there to make it all kind of like that. So we have you address any questions anybody may have.
I have none related to this individually. However, is this the same section that we're talking about during Fifth Ward Meadow Roads?
Mm-hmm.
Standard agenda, so kind of relates to probably a decent price tag on it. Good movement forward if you guys are agreeing.
Yep.
Part 2 of this, item number 6, the business PW 2022-23, East Main Street Water Main Improvements, Construction Engineering Agreements.
Same explanation as the Road to Better Roads Construction Engineering Agreement. This one's $106,000 or so in value, but same recommendation and reasoning.
Any questions? Yep. All right. Move that to the public works agenda. New business number 7, 2022-24, Kennedy Road and Mill Road intersection improvements bid award discussion.
Last bid award memo for the month, so bids were also taken for the Bill and Kennedy intersection improvements. If you recall, these are the intersection improvements that we had. Therefore, the city was able to move forward with its plans for the intersection, and this work So, low bidder again was Geo Construction. They were well below our estimate. And we are recommending award in the amount of $384,556.38. And we're happy to address any questions.
No, we did.
A little bit smaller here. Seems pretty consistent. Be good with the consent agenda.
Yeah, sure.
I believe that this is attached to it slightly as well. PW 2022-25 Kitty Road and Middle Road intersection improvements are construction engineering improvements.
Yep, same as the prior two. This one is $60,202 total in value. But the recommendation is again to proceed with the EI.
Good.
Yep, that sounds
good.
Yep.
All right, fill that on the consent too. To new business item number 9, PW 2022-26, our Fox Hill Road improvements, our pavements, rather condition updates.
All right, so we've mentioned this. This was forthcoming for a while here. So back last fall, as you recall, there was a big push from D Construction to complete the work before the completion date. They were working up until the very last moment to get their paving done. So with that, there were several issues that popped up. So we put a detailed memo together and plan to just kind of walk through that here tonight. So background, and some of these items are important. We'll circle back to some of these dates. But the contract was awarded basically in early June, or mid-June, I should say. A construction meeting was held for the end of July. Indeed, did not start work until late August. So they got a late start, and they really pushed very hard at the end to try to complete their work, which we think led to a number of concerns and issues. So there were a number of things that popped up during those days where they were putting their final surface on. One of them was the issue with the density. So when asphalt is placed, it is then rolled by a series of rollers, and the plan or the target is to compact that and get enough density to meet the specifications. So, in order to ensure that, the contractor has somebody on site taking density readings, QA, quality assurance, and likewise, from the city's perspective, we have somebody out there that's checking their work as well, QC quality control side. So, on one of the days of the paving, they were getting less than ideal density readings. So when that happens, it's not unusual. It happens on paving projects. Typically, there's an adjustment to the mix, or there's an adjustment to the rolling pattern, and things work themselves out really quickly. In this case, it took a little bit longer to work themselves out, and caused a little bit of an issue. They eventually, in some areas, started over-rolling, which that's a problem because then you start breaking down the aggregate and causing some fracture. It's kind of a fine line. There's a certain amount of passes you want to make with your roller before it becomes too much that you go over the edge. So we're running into low density readings, not significantly low, but lower than what we want to see. And then because of that, they were breaking down some of the aggregate. So another issue was because they were in a hurry, the workmanship wasn't the best. There were some uneven joints, the rolling kind of left a lot of marks out there in what had you. So it just wasn't usually, or just wasn't up to the usual standards from a workmanship perspective. So, some of our concerns between us and Eric and Public Works were that some of these issues would lead to possible shortening of the life of the pavement, which is certainly not what we want, considering the investment that the city made in the work. So throughout the late fall winter here, there was a series of testing items and inspections that were performed and were summarized in the table on the first page of the memo. Basically for low density, the way to confirm density to go out and take pavement course were taken throughout so that the entire questionable area, and they were submitted to a lab, both Dee's lab and our subcontractor, Rubino, and they both independently tested the densities. So the results are on the next page, but most of them came in, you know, either right at or slightly below the IDOT standard of 92.5%. So the conclusion was that, you know, the majority of them were technically not compliant, but within a very a few small percentage points of the recommendation. In our discussions with IDOT, you know, they've seen this many times before. They historically, you know, don't require any drastic measures as far as repaving or penalizing the contractor. If you're that close, you know, it's basically the ballpark and good to go. So from IDOT's perspective, and we've seen this too, it's within. So, you know, the fracture of the aggregate, another issue, really not a good test for that. It's probably more of a visual test. But we did do kind of an asphalt content test to see if that would tell us anything. So we did that test, and it came back with compliance, so no issues there. The cosmetic effects, it's something that we've kind of looked at over the winter time, and recently I've been driven to the site. Couple areas that are very, very apparent. There's a couple bumps that we would ask them to address and take care of. There's some center line joint issues that we certainly were aware of when they completed paving. That hasn't gone away. But we feel we can address that as part of the standard punch list process and get the needed work. So those were the issues, some of the testing, and some of the conclusions that before we get to the recommendations, on top of that, getting back to the schedule, they pushed the schedule, and they were to have work, all the work complete by November 1st. They did not get to that deadline. They completed the paving by that time, but they did not complete the restoration, get the stop down, those types of things, until really the summer. So the contract between the city and Dee allowed for liquidated damages for any time elapsed. So that's standard contracting. That's in all of major public infrastructure projects with the city. So technically, the city could charge deconstruction with liquidated damages 31 days worth and do the math. At 1275 a day, it adds up to a little bit more than $39,000 that the city could charge back to the contractor, basically take it off. Keep that in mind. So at this point, you know, between Eric and his team and our team, we're recommending basically two items here. One is to update the punch list. The weather's kind of broke, no more snow. Let's get out there and fully inspect the project. Note any deficiencies and make sure that's on the punch list, but also include the following. So the center line joint, you know, some of the workmanship was a little bit poor, but we would ask them to crack route it and seal it on their dime and you know, address those issues. There's one joint at Deal and Cottonwood that's very apparent, you know, pretty bumpy. We would ask them to address that for certain. Then the other element, which to take care of some of the low density items and fractured aggregate, is we would ask them to apply an asphalt rejuvenator to the entire project. So this is a product that actually is in the 2022 road program that we just recommended for the board. So this is a pavement preservation type of item that we've been wanting to do for quite some time. We just haven't had the funds to do it. It's now being implemented into your road program. Basically, this is a product that is put on 1 to 2 years after you freshly pave a roadway. And what this does is it basically provides some new asphalt on top and allows it to penetrate and seal the existing pavement, the new pavement. Basically extends the life of that pavement another scripts in years past. There's been some work done in the city. A lot of counties use this product. And other local programs in other communities use this product. So I had a D, put this on the entire subdivision. We feel, along with the centerline issues, we feel that would kind of mitigate the potential for any loss of life on pavement by the low density of the fractured area. And then we're also recommending collecting blood grading of the damages too. So the reasons why they're in there, a contractor agrees to a schedule and a contract, certainly the expectation is that you complete that work by that time frame. At this point, the staff recommendation is to implement those locations. So a lot there, a lot was mentioned, so probably a question or two. So if you wanted to address anything that may pop up.
I'll go first. So how are they going to be when you go to them with this stuff?
Yeah, so...
Especially that
sure.
C, C1C.
You know, it would be the city's position, right? So we would put that in writing. They may come back with a counter proposal. A good question, and that's something that may happen.
I don't think the $32,000 is going to be a big deal to D. Putting the whole thing down might be the one they squawk at.
That's what I think. Putting the whole thing down, they're going to say, well, then we don't want to pay the $39,000.
Yeah, Kim should have mentioned that we had estimated the pavement preservation to be somewhere in that $30,000 to $40,000 range. So it's,
we've paid them a lot of money over there.
Yeah, we have.
And one other thing to add to this case, we asked them continually, when do you guys start? When you guys, are you guys coming in soon?
Yeah. Right.
You know, your deadline is November 1st. And they were, no problem, we'll get there.
Yeah. I mean, it would be a different thing if they started and then, it was rain delays and this and that and the other thing, but yeah, when you start late.
So with that aspect, whether or not they come back with a counter proposal, right? Are we going to set a deadline saying we don't want, if you agree to the asphalt regime, we don't want you doing that until 2023, because you said 1 or 2 years is optimal, right? So we're coming up on another deadline.
What we consider a year for winter, yes.
Okay.
So when winter through that pavement, through that process, will be fine. We'll be fine to get that rejuvenator and actually be perfect.
Okay.
And Ken and Joe, you guys may remember, we had what was called a recommend project back when Joe and I was.
Yeah.
We did it on a lot of streets, and it works.
Yeah. I don't know if you all can, or even Eric, or maybe that. I'll leave it there, whether it's Seaver or Jason too. How many total concerns did we have coming in from Fox Hill? Do you know what it was?
It was more than usual. I don't remember if that was 5 to 10 or if it was above 10, but there were definitely multiple points of contact over several weeks from aldermen and then residents in there too. And they were, some of them were related to the things that we're talking about, and some of them were just maybe sloppiness of traffic control and other things, so which isn't necessarily, warrants a penalty, but, it's just something to note.
There were quite a few for the concrete workers. That was the biggest one. They were driving all over their personal cars to stop it.
Yep.
Yeah, again, like Mark said, that's not a reason for the penalty, but not finishing the project.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. And it's just a consideration that I want to kind of keep front of mind. They wanted their nice new roads.
Yeah.
So it's something I'd like, I wouldn't say necessarily pushing harder on, but.
Yep.
We asked when you're going to start. We're trying to give residents that information. Started a bit late. There was some rain, I think, that pushes back pretty heavily at that time, too. So just some considerations. So.
Yeah, in general, it's a struggle with the from a scheduling perspective, which makes it difficult to inform residents. And this, this project, because they were pushed up against the deadline, made it even worse.
Yeah.
So
looks like we want to move it forward based on the approval recommendations that's presented. I do think it kind of warrants a discussion just because of some of the concerns for residents that came out of Box Hill. So we'll move that to the center of public works.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Brad. You need a jerk to it. Moving on. New business item number 10, PRD 2022-27, a bucket truck price.
Sorry, I can't bring you better news after that one. As with our single axle dump truck, Peterbilt, this is a Peterbilt chassis, has passed along the price increase for our bucket truck. We kind of knew this was coming. Not near as bad as the other one.
It really isn't that.
It's a different chassis, but it does increase the price by $4,303. It's the same contract, so it's their purview to change the price settings. And just to add insult to injury, there'll be another one coming next week to the next city council. There's a second price increase on the single axle truck.
That was going to be my question. This one here I don't have a problem with, but how many more of these situations do we have where we've purchased stuff a year out and we just did the three squad cars, right? Can they change too?
Yeah. Really, until you've sent them the money and they've sent you the product. I mean, it depends on the terms of the agreement in each case, but...
Well, that's something we should be cautious about.
Oh, of course. It's just there's not really an alternative, especially in this case. Squad cars, you might be able to change up the models if the police wanted to do that, and go with something different, but...
No, I'm just saying when we start doing it, it seems like lately we've been doing a lot of it, or, here a year later.
Well, it's happening to everybody.
Head them off as much as possible.
Yeah. When inflation is 7+ percentage points officially,
I was just offered $25,000 for a really beat up 1-ton truck from Kaufman's because they can't get them.
Yeah, they can't get them.
I mean, it was 120,000 miles. They can't get the light off. Like, the box is all beat up, the body's all beat up, and they were going to trade it in and give us $25,000 for it. You just can't get anything. That's why we didn't do it, because they didn't have anything to give us.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate part, is we're kind of stuck right now until supply comes back.
Yeah.
I guess it could be worse.
No, this one isn't bad. No.
Yeah.
This is only the first increase, though. The pocket truck is not supposed to be delivered until April of next year, so don't...
just for one lug nut spot, too.
Yeah, exactly.
I got a dollar that says it doesn't stay there.
I got a dollar. I'll match that dollar.
Okay.
You know what? I'm going to see if I can get you down here. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
Depends if John's in town or not.
What's that?
Depends if John's in town or not.
Yeah, he will miss.
He will miss to the room.
No. You really didn't miss the last one.
Let Joe run the show in 44 minutes.
Yeah.
New business item number 11, PW 2022-28, our fiscal year 2023 budget proposal discussion.
This is kind of an open agenda item. We didn't kill the packet of paper and include the entire thing again, but I didn't know if you guys had specific questions about water, sewer, streets, parks, capital issues. This is kind of your chance to dive in if you have questions. You always can email me too, outside of the meeting, and I can copy the responses to everybody. So.
I guess the only thing I would think is at the next council meeting, could we have a discussion about what Sweeto's doing with the...
Yep.
Because I don't think we have even mentioned that, so...
Yep.
I think it would be a good discussion just so people are aware.
Sure.
I know Dan, after that, he's seen a couple articles, and I said, I think it's the same article.
Yep. Yeah, I have their packet materials. Just if you haven't heard, they proposed a real estate transfer tax, which typically is anytime somebody buys a house, whether it's new or old, you pay like a few hundred bucks usually. to the city or the village, basically for the privilege of, you know, transferring title from one person to the other. There are exemptions or discounts given usually when somebody moves within town. You know, if they're selling their house in town and then moving to another one, they're exempt. So it's, you know, a way to kind of drive up revenue from other people's money rather than residents. But realtors hate it. Home people, they're people that are selling their homes, I usually hate it. It's a little bit of a hassle, and it's not something that we can unilaterally implement. It has to be put on the ballot, and then it has to go to referendum. So Oswego's, I don't remember what their specific proposal is dollar amount-wise, but yeah, they want to put it on the June referendum, or I think they have to act by June in order to get, I think it's on the November referendum, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But they had estimated that it would be like $1 million, you know, in revenue. And, you know, our debt service on $95 million is going to be much more than $1 million. So, you
but know, it's good PR, I think, because it lets people that are living here thinking they're not, it might really, they are, you know, stomaching most of it, but it kind of looked, I mean, when I seen it, I was like, it makes a lot of sense.
Diversifies the way to pay for a project.
Sure. Mm-hmm. That way people in the future are helping pay for it, and mm-hmm. everyone's going to use it in the future too. So.
Yeah.
I think it's bad timing for us since we just bought that building. We're talking about public works, and it'll blow up in our face. Well, if you wouldn't have just bought this, that, and the other thing, you wouldn't have to do it. Because are you saying that we should think about implementing it, or no?
No, I'm thinking that we should look into the referendum part for the future, you know, of this with water project, so.
Yeah, I just don't think it's going to go over well. I don't think it'll pass.
You know what? You'd be surprised if people understand it. They may be, we'll find out with Oswego.
Yeah, I'd say we see how Oswego's does, and then we'll judge from there. Because I don't think it's going to go great.
Because people are going to think, oh, this is a way of not paying its full amount.
Maybe.
But there'd be people who did.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I thought of right away when I heard his, because he did it with his end of the year report or something.
Yeah, he did.
I just think it would be a good discussion to have.
Sure.
Yeah, outside of, you know, the gas and the expenditures probably went up based on. That's my only concern is this was probably based on normalized prices in that space and not jumping $1.50 a gallon, right?
Yeah.
I'm assuming. But I think that's not what it is, what we're talking about. It's kind of across the board, especially because JJ's guy's driving everywhere. Eric's guy's like, no, we don't want any snow. Saves on gas, right?
Saves a lot.
Yeah, no, as I looked at it, that's not anything that kind of happened with that as well. But I think Kevin's a great point. It's good. I have nothing additional. Joe, if you have
or Kevin. No, thank you.
Well, Bart said, yeah, he's here if you need him.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Moving on, new business item number 12, PW 2022-29, resolution authorizing a contract for streetlight heads, arms, and poles with Anchorage Electrical Supply out of Moselle, Illinois, in the amount not to exceed $80,534.00.
This was a budgeted item in this year's budget for the replacement of streetlights and poles as part of it. Replace the old streetlights. They were the old steel pole. They had a concrete little base with steel poles, and the steel is starting to rot. So we had one fall over. We had one almost fall over. We've taken, and we've had like four others repaired. So most of those were put in '93. So we decided to try to do a replacement. PW was going to replace them ourselves. We're going to set them to wire, and this actually came in $5,000 under our budget. So it's a good project for us for the summer. These poles will not be here until probably the beginning of June. That's how long the order the lead time is, so just what we're dealing with.
And just to acknowledge, we did have a lower bidder that did not quote out what we had asked for. Yeah. So different product, different quality, so we ruled them out.
Have we replaced some of these in the past too?
Yeah, so we strictly specify stress creep pools, which is what we ask for here.
Okay.
Like lead?
Yeah.
Like you see in Wild 34?
Yep, they're all LED lights.
Okay.
We switched over even in the newer subdivisions, such as Heartland Meadows, we've asked them to put in LED lights. ComEd is switching out all of the wood pole lights to LEDs, so we're slowly changing over where we can.
So you said 93 is the ones we're putting, that we're looking to replace, 1993, that's what?
Yeah, those are the ones we're looking to replace, and they're more of a commercial, like parking lot light,
yeah,
as opposed to our residential lights.
From a life perspective, is that a pretty good life?
You're about done.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're almost 30 years old.
Yeah.
For a metal street light, that's pretty good.
Okay.
For a concrete one, you've got about 200 meters.
Yeah. Excellent. Questions? Let's put it on the standard public works agenda just because the low bidder with not bidding what we asked for, but still to get back to discussion.
Sure.
Broader. Excellent. One more new business item, number 13, PWA 2022-30, resolution in support of the quote unquote wild mayor's challenge for water conservation.
So this is our fifth year partnering with the Wyman Foundation. It is something that the mayors do nationally. We have ranked as high as fifth place in 2018, and last year we went down to 18th place, but that is just because more municipalities are made aware of this promotion. It is an online promotion that anybody can do, residents of Yorkville specifically, to make sure that you are water wise. It just goes through a series of steps that you can do in your house, around the block, to make you more aware of conservation practices. When you enter your information to the website, it automatically puts your name into a drawing for different prizes, all the way up to a car, which you would then be able to choose what not-for-profit you would like that car to go to. So it's just fun. We do try to get the mayor in a classroom during the month of April to promote it as well. We've done that a couple times in the past. And then we, of course, put it out through social media, our newsletter, and then our website as well. If anybody has any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Okay, one. So are residents allowed to bury a tank and channel their rainwater into it to use for gardening or whatever, irrigation, instead of using the city water for that?
Yeah, I mean, rain barrels.
No, a little bit bigger than, could they put a storage tank?
Like a cistern?
Yeah. Well, something, or a fiberglass tank or something.
Yeah, like that. I don't think we have regulations against that.
Yeah.
Because a rain barrel pretty quickly overflows at 55 gallons.
Yeah, if you get you can't connect it to the, your house system. But yeah, if it's just standalone, I'm guessing there's probably some underground digging, procedures and requirements that want to be. But as far as I know, no.
I was just curious about that, if that's a lot or not.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of feeds into that sometimes.
I know out west it's not.
I thought that some places don't allow it.
But we have.
In the city, you see a lot of cisterns on city buildings to do the rooftop gardens.
Yes.
So it's easier for them to get a bunch of water that way rather than a small amount of water in the rain barrels. But out here, rain barrels are widely used, as are the gutter catchers, which kind of stop that flow of water down, and then you can have a little rain garden underneath those as well.
I'd say most people look stubborn. Gutters out with jerry tile around here.
My barrels are wearing the overflow.
You can dig a tank if you want.
Most of our residents here are far away from their house. They tie in the storm system
and
get rid of it.
Aaron, the only question I had is based on where you finished your fifth phase, 18th. Is that based on amount of residents per population that sign up, or is it based on actual water conservation based on the population? Is it a combination?
It's just however many people sign up to take the pledge.
Okay.
So you can, we encourage people to get locked in, but it really only gets you involved once. So once you put your information in, that's your vote for the month. But we hope to get kids to do it, parents to do it, but once you put your name in with your address, then you vote it. But it can be multiple members of your household, et cetera, et cetera. Wyland is a artist, renowned artist, so you see his whale murals in California and Florida and a lot of coastal things, so he really tries to give back to the community, and this was one way that he was able to partner with a bunch of people across the nation.
Thank you. Well, I think we should do it again.
Right? Yeah,
sure. Think we want to talk about it next week?
No.
Okay.
Hold on. It's up.
Joe can go about it if he wants to.
No.
Excellent. All right. There's no old business officially listed here. So anybody have any additional business? Okay.
I have a couple items. So, since that light pole, we're doing them for Fox Hill, and now that we're getting to the spring, what's the situation? Can we go ahead and do Tuma Road and have a light put up there? Because evidently nothing's happening. It's been going on. That's why I was hoping Jason was going to be here.
Yeah.
I was kind of bummed out because I know he gets people.
No, that light would have to be much larger. It would have to be permitted through IDOT. Could we pay for it, install it if you wanted to? It's not really our responsibility
but
to.
But
so.
We'd have to get permission from Bristol Township. That's not our vote.
Right.
So the point is, so we're just going to like ignore it?
No.
Because IDOT's not doing it evidently.
Yeah, I just... You know, it's outside of our...
And I've been noticing this winter when it's dark, I would drive out to Orchard Road, and every other intersection has the nice LED lights that light them up all the way on Creek, all of them, all the way to Orchard, except for that one there. And there was one there before that, before they widened it, so it really should be.
And I've forwarded all that information to combat this problem, so we need that light back.
Yeah. But, I mean, maybe you need to... Your twist, I don't know if there's a way of twisting the screwdriver a little bit.
I mean, I can be annoying if that's what you're.
you're
persistent, professionally annoying.
Hey,
there we go.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
Channel your inner jewel.
Get it under fingernails.
Another good way to put it. I mean, we'll keep at it and see what we can do, but it's not, you know, it's a couple entities removed from our responsibility. And so, you know, unless if you want us to just go up and pay for it and permit it, which...
well, that one was
tens of thousands of dollars, probably.
That one was on a wood pole and just a light, right? That they took down.
But that's when the wood poles were right close to the road. I think they're back off the road.
Okay.
So it may not work on the wood pole. I have to check.
Yeah.
Okay. I just kind of don't want to forget about it. And just
understood.
Ignore it. And the other item, I know this happened at the end of the year on Coach and Winnedette, where we took those trees down. And so we left the stumps, I told the people that it's just the timing of it, they probably aren't going to get to it till the spring. And I guess it's because it's only the stumps and it's the sidewalk that needs to adjust.
Yeah, we'll probably have to take the sidewalk out to grind the stumps and re-pour the sidewalk.
Okay. Because they brought it up to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I think the timing of that was...
Yep.
Leaf pickup time and getting trucks ready for snow, and so I'm sure in the spring we would take care of it, I told him. So, just that's it.
And the only thing I'll add here is I've seen, you know, it's on Facebook. I don't know if it's on the digital versions of our, you know, water, sewer, and refuse bills, but the transition to crude is happening, and the April 1st due date for your transition size if you want a different. Garbage bin size. There has been some questions on recycle bins. They have to take it away.
Yep.
Is there any other method that we're pushing it out besides, you know, social media? Assuming my GovHub listed on there when you get the emails.
Yeah, we are planning on doing that. There are Groot initiated methods too. They're going to do postcards. They're going to do hang tags, and you know, on the cart. So there will be a bunch of different reminders.
And that's relative to that April 1st date too?
Some of it isn't, some of it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alright. I've already seen my request. I'm still looking before. Yeah. We're switching. I'm not going to do the hits. I should. I need a bigger bin for a week. that's the only other thing I have. Thank you, Kevin. Thanks, Joe. Yeah. Right. Excellent. We're in a good spot then. So with nothing else here, we're going to officially call the meeting to a close at 6:51.
Thank you.
Eric, do you see our friend realize?